But one day in the CCD class, the lesson was on the book of Genesis. So the teacher asked the children, "Children, what is the name of our first parents? What was the first man's name?" And one little boy says, "I know, it was Adam." And the teacher says, "That's correct." And then she said, "Well, who was the name of the first woman?" And they thought for a moment, nobody could guess it. So the teacher said, "Well, think of the apple." And the boy says, "I remember, it was Granny Smith." Well, the name of our first parents was Adam and Eve. Today our first reading is about the fall of the human race because of their sin. And compare that to what happened with our Lord, who was the new Adam, and Mary, who was the new Eve. See, the first Adam and Eve were filled with pride. And that pride led to disobedience, which led to sin, which led to death. Whereas the new Adam, Christ, and the new Eve, Mary, we see in them humility, which leads to obedience, which leads to grace, which leads to life. St. Paul tells us that Christ is the new Adam. Well, you can't have a new Adam without having a new Eve. Therefore, Mary is the new Eve. And just as sin and death entered the world through the first Adam and Eve, so life and grace enter the world through the new Adam and Eve, because of what Jesus Christ did by dying on the cross for us. And Mary, the new Eve, was standing at the foot of the cross. So we have in Scripture today this comparison between the first Adam and Eve and the new Adam and Eve. And remember that in the Old Testament, the Old Testament foreshadows a greater reality to come in the New Testament. For example, Christ is far greater than Adam because he is the fulfillment of that Old Testament prefiguring. If Christ is greater than Adam, then Mary must be greater than Eve. And remember, Adam and Eve were both created by God without sin originally. Therefore, the new Adam and the new Eve must be without sin. That's one of the reasons why the Church honors Our Lady under the title of the Immaculate Conception, because we know that Our Lady was conceived without original sin. And that's what we celebrate today on this feast day, December 8th. It's the feast day, the patronal feast day of the Americas. Our Lady is the patron of North America, South America, Central America. All the Americas is under Our Lady's title of the Immaculate Conception. That's why we have the beautiful shrine in Washington, D.C., the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, because she is our patron saint of all of the Americas. So we're very blessed that this is our feast day as Catholics, Roman Catholics, who live in this great country of ours. Now, in the Scripture, we know the angel Gabriel told Mary, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." In the Greek New Testament, the words "full of grace," that's only used one time in all of Scripture. The word in Greek is kacheritomene, which is an interesting word because it's the perfect passive participle of that verb. It means a completed action done to perfection. So when the angel said, "Hail, full of grace," he basically was saying, "Hail, you who have been perfected in grace." A completed act done to perfection. That's one of the scriptural supports for this belief that Mary was immaculately conceived because she is full of grace. A completed act done to perfection. So we know that the Church teaches that the definition of the Immaculate Conception means that at the moment of Mary's conception, at the beginning of her life, she was preserved from original sin due to the merits of Christ applied to her at the moment of her conception. This helps to clear up another misunderstanding. Sometimes people think, well, Mary then did not need a Savior. She did not need a Redeemer. Just the opposite. Mary is most perfectly redeemed. The grace of Christ that he merited by his death on the cross, by his resurrection, was applied to Mary at her conception. God is outside of time. So what the Lord would do on the cross, he applied that grace to Mary at her conception. So Mary's life began at conception. She was preserved from original sin from the first moment of her existence. Never, even for a split second, did original sin touch Mary's soul. That's what it means that Mary was immaculately conceived. But why did God want to do this? Why did God want to vaccinate her from original sin? Why did God sort of give her this preservation, this baptism, this covering, so that she would not be tainted by original sin? It was because she was going to become the Mother of God. And Mary would be that pure vessel through which the Son of God would come into this world. So God would not allow her, even for a split second, to be tainted by original sin, because she was going to be the pure vessel through which the Lord would enter our world. Just as we use a beautiful clean chalice or a ciborium to hold the body of Christ, so God would give us His only begotten Son through a pure vessel, namely our Blessed Mother. If you go to somebody's house for dinner, they wouldn't serve you good food on a dirty plate, right? They wouldn't give you a good drink in a dirty glass. Nor would God give us His only begotten Son through a dirty vessel. Mary was preserved and perfected by God's grace so that she would be that pure vessel to be the Mother of God. So today we honor this great teaching of the faith. And I think this is really the greatest pro-life feast day in the Catholic Church, because we believe, as Catholics, that life begins at conception. Sometimes the world doesn't believe that, but we do. One reason is because of today's feast day. See, if Our Lady was preserved from original sin at the moment of her conception, then her life must have began at conception. And if Mary's life began at conception, then your life begins at conception, my life began at conception, every human life begins at conception. See, 9 months from today, we celebrate Mary's Nativity. September 8th is the birthday of our Blessed Mother. In a few weeks, we celebrate Christmas, December 25th. Go back 9 months, what feast day do we celebrate? The Annunciation. When Jesus' life began, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So today, we celebrate the fact when Mary's life began. On March 25th, we celebrate when Jesus' life began at the moment of conception. Therefore, it sanctifies every human life from the moment of conception until natural death. So what should we do to honor Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? One suggestion: try to visit the shrine of the Immaculate Conception sometime in the next year. I'm sure many of you have been there. It's a magnificent shrine with all the beautiful chapels of Our Lady throughout this church. Try to visit there and see Mary's house. That is the most important church in all of the Americas, because it's the shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the patron saint of our country. Second, I would suggest wearing the miraculous medal, which is the medal of the Immaculate Conception. The Blessed Mother told us, whoever wears the medal, the miraculous medal, would receive great graces, especially if they wore it around their neck. So we should all be wearing the medal of the Immaculate Conception, called the Miraculous Medal. Third, join one of Our Lady's organizations or prayer groups. We have here at this parish the Legion of Mary. Today being Our Lady's Day, we invite you to consider to become an active member or a praying member of the Legion of Mary. They do such wonderful work. They pray the rosary and do such wonderful work. So that would be a beautiful thing to do. And lastly, I would suggest that we try to promote the pro-life cause as much as we can. See, we know as Christians that life begins at conception because of today's feast day and the Annunciation as well. But what are we doing to protect and promote the sanctity of all human life? The elderly, the handicapped, the unborn children. Because life is precious, life is sacred, and life begins at conception.